بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فالحمد لله tonight is the 5th of August in the year 2020 and alhamdulillah we're beginning the second week the 8th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of our beloved and dear mother Sayyida Safiya radiyallahu and I'm describing the marriage the blessed marriage that took place and the last thing I mentioned which I'll mention again is that our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to raise his noble wife onto the camel he kneeled down so he made his knee one knee on the ground and one so she could place her foot on his knee sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Bukhari and Muslim but she had so much love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam she said he put out his thigh for me to step on and I thought that this was terrible thus I put my thigh over his thigh rather than my feet then I mounted the camel so note both ways the great love they had for each other sallallahu alaihi wasallam radiyallahu and this also shows that we have chivalry you know in the especially the English because they're very chivalrous people they open the door for their women they open the door you know they and you know and that is part of our deen but we show it to the people we're supposed to show it to. No point doing that for a woman down the road and what about your wife astaghfirullah in another report it mentions in Sahih Bukhari number 5085 Nasa'i number 3384 Sahih Al-Bidayah volume 4 page 196 Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 286 of the New English Translation. Anas radiyallahu anhu said, some of the companions asked, is she one of the ummahatul mu'mineen? Or is she a slave woman? Others replied, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam veils her, then she is one of the ummahatul mu'mineen. Otherwise, she is a slave woman. When the army thus started to leave, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spread over something behind him for her to sit on and then pulled a veil over it. So in this flawless report in Sahih Bukhari, they weren't sure, the Sahaba, some of the Sahaba. So they said, is she amongst the Ummahatul Mu'mineen? This is a title for the mothers of the believers. Meaning that is she married to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And then they themselves worked out if he veils her. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then she is. And then they noticed that that's exactly what he did. So this was all to show to the companions that I've married this blessed woman, radiyallahu. In another report indicating this, in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Al-Haytami in Majma' al-Zawa'id, volume 9, page 251, states Sahih. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 286 of the New English Translation. Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, volume 8, page 142, relates similar. Sayyidina Jabir confirmed, radiyallahu, when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emerged from his tent, the Holy Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, leave your mother alone. Leave your mother alone. When we gathered the time of Isha, he came out to us carrying in the edge of his shawl close to 1.5 mud of ajwa dates. Then handing them over to us, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, eat from the walima of your mother. Radiyallahu. So note the Prophet's mentioning now, your mother, meaning I've married this noble woman. And what did he say first? Leave your mother alone, meaning give her privacy. And then at the time of Isha, what did he give as part of the walima? Ajwa dates. This is sunnah. So when you're having your walima, you should try to give ajwa dates to the people who attend, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this, because this is part of the walima of your mother. So again, not everything is priceless, which the Prophet does, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is also interesting to note that there was something in the heart of our mother, Safiya radiyallahu anha. So what was in her blessed heart? Her father's death, her husband's death, and of course, many of her family members. So naturally, we don't hold that against her. If your family has been killed, how do we know that she had something of that in her heart? Because she herself testified. In Tabarani 24-68, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, number 15,373, or volume 9, page 251, states Sahih. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 286-7 of the New English Translation. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu relates. Umm al-Mu'mineen Sayyida Safiya, she said, radiyallahu, there was no one more loathsome in my eyes than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had killed both my father and now my husband. However, this feeling disappeared from my heart when he repeatedly clarified his position to me by telling me that my father had been responsible for instigating the Arabs against me and for numerous other crimes. So this explains the scenario. So if a person goes, didn't she feel anything over the death of her family? Naturally, you're going to feel that. And she goes, I had that in my heart. But what did she say? Rasulullah kept explaining. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during that conversation, kept explaining. He goes, he did this, he incited this. And this is, of course, with her own knowledge that her father had testified to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then she said, it left. So look how twitching that was. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did talk about her father. But he was saying, he was the one who forced me to do what I did. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in a similar, more detailed report, our beloved mother herself had reported in Tabarani, Abu Ya'la al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id, volume 9, page 15, he comments upon the chain of narrators, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 67 of the New English Translation. I have never seen anyone with a better character than Rasulullah. I was riding on the back of his camel with him as we returned from Khid. And I put in brackets, this is also confirmed in Sahih Bukhari, number 6185, Sahih Muslim, number 1345, Mishkat, number 3901. Then our mother said, radiyallahu, it was at night, and as I began to fall asleep, my head hit the back of the carriage. Rasulullah thereupon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gently touched me and said, take it easy, dear lady. Take it easy, O daughter of Huyay. This is not the place to sleep. When we finally reached a place called Sahba, he said to me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please excuse me for what I had to do with your people. The Jews of Khaybar. He then explained to me what they had said and done to him, because of which he was forced to act thus against them. So look how beautiful, further details. So she's on the same carriage as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what was the first thing she said before mentioning anything? She goes, I've never seen anybody with a better character than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now think about that. If somebody's killed your father, your husband, your maternal tribe, for you to say, the one who did that, I've never seen a better character. What does that say about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He goes, I've never seen a better character. His character is something else. And then she said, I was sitting behind him. And look how touching. She was falling asleep. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Take it easy, dear lady. Take it easy, O daughter of Hayy. Meaning, don't sleep here. This is not a place to sleep. And then when we got to Sahba, he said, excuse me for what I did to your people. In other words, like we say, nothing personal. Because I did what I did, but it was your fathers, your uncles, your tribes who instigated this. And this was the end result of what took place. And look how touching. Safiya said he had the best character, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another report, there's further details. In Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, volume 8, page 87-8 of the English translation, Ja'far rahmatullah alayhi relates, when Sayyida Safiya radiyallahu anha was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to her, your father was one of the Jews with the strongest enmity to me until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala killed him. She replied, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, La taziru waziratu wizra ukhra, no burden bearer can bear another's burden. Surah An-Najm, Surah 53, verse 38. Rasulullah then said to her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you may now choose. If you choose Islam, I will keep you for myself. If you choose Judaism, I will free you so you can join your people. And she responded, like I mentioned yesterday, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have already desired Islam. I believe in you before you called me when I went to your mount. I have no desire for Judaism, and now I have neither father or brother in it. You gave me the choice between unbelief and Islam. I choose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to free them and return to my people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter was never heard to mention her father with even a syllable which she may have disliked. I despite the enormous crimes he had committed. So let's look at this. So what did he say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Safiya radiyallahu, her father? Your father amongst the Jews had the strongest enmity to me until Allah killed him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was her response? Now look how interesting. Did she defend her father? She recited Quran. Where did she get that verse from? He goes, Ya Rasulullah, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran. This is before she's actually declared anything about her iman. No burden bearer can bear another's burden. Meaning, I'm his daughter. But I have got nothing to do with what my father did. I'm innocent. In fact, I reject what he did. Then look how touching. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the choice is yours. Freedom, go back to your family, or be with me. And what did she choose? She chose Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And look what she said, this is very important. After that, he never mentioned anything about my father, which I may dislike. Think about that. So how long did he remain with her before he went sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? 4 years. Think about that. Is it possible not to mention her father within 4 years? Oh yeah, but your father, remember what he did. Remember he instigated the Battle of the Trench. Caused untold havoc, right? He made your, you know, not once. Look at the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there's a deeper meaning here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us a command. And the command is, do not speak ill of the dead, because you will hurt the living. So when did he say that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said that when Abu Jahl's son embraced Islam. Ikrimah radiyallahu. So look what happened. I don't want to go through this long report. But basically, Ikrimah was told by his wife, Rasulullah has forgiven you. Come back. And then he says, well, how do I know? And he goes, and he had the turban. Imagine, turban of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look, he's giving me his turban. So when he's coming back to Mecca, don't forget the Prophet was in Mecca at the time Mecca had fallen. Rasulullah told the Sahaba, because he knew Ikrimah was coming, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, do not speak ill of the dead. You'll hurt the living. Now, why was that the perfect time to mention it? Because Abu Jahl's son's coming. Firaun's ummah, the Firaun of this ummah's son's coming. They were ready to give it him. But the Prophet ﷺ said, no, you'll hurt the living. Who are you going to hurt? You're going to hurt Ikrimah. So imagine, though they wanted to say something, they didn't. And this is a command. So now, Rasulullah ﷺ, he himself was the first to act on everything Allah Ta'ala ordained. Did he have hatred for Huyay? Of course, because he was an enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because his daughter was married to him. Look what Safiya said. Never mentioned nothing about my father again. Not even a syllable. That's the only thing he asked or said to me. Your father was one of the Jews with the strongest enmity until Allah Ta'ala killed him. That's it. Chapter closed. I'm not going to mention him again. Right, so again, note and look how tragic it is. You know, we do this for fun. Astaghfirullah. Oh, your so-and-so's put it on you, right? And you know what's coming after that. He's going to insult him. And he goes, oh, like father, like son. Father's dead. Well, just leave him alone. Why are you dragging the father into it? And what makes it worse? Can you ask the forgiveness for the dead? If you backbite the dead, guaranteed they're going to take your good deeds. You can't go to his grave. He's already in Barzakh, right? You can't say, uncle, what it is, I backbited you. He goes, yeah, you think I'm going to forgive you now? Bring him over, right? So that Jumal is better to backbite the living. And yeah, Imam Abu Hanifa only knew 17 hadiths. Yeah, mashallah, give it him, give him. You know, he doesn't need your deeds, but give it him. you only knew 17 hadiths, you know. Where did you get that one from? Astaghfirullah. Yeah, they talk about the Sahab. He was this, still Abu Bakr needs a few more good deeds, radiyallahu. So again, just, you know, Ambiya even got deeds to spare. Astaghfirullah. The way you're backbiting is like you've got deeds like mountains. And the tragedy is, if you've got no good deeds, then what happens? Their sins get piled upon you. Right? So again, you know, the dead especially, don't talk about them. Shaitan will provoke you. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thus later said to one of his wives, she has accepted Islam and is now an excellent Muslim. She, Safiya radiyallahu anha, has accepted Islam and is now an excellent Muslim. Who did he say that to? To one of his wives. I'll mention who in a relevant time. This is recorded in Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, volume 8, page 90 of the English translation. Ibn Asakir in his Arba'in, number 33, on the memorable qualities of the mothers of the believers, he states Hasan al-Isaba, number 11,407, or volume 4, page 347. Shaykh al-Ahadith, Mawlana Muhammad Idris Sahib Khan Dahlawi Rahmatullah Ali, in Sirat al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, volume 3, page 332 of the English translation. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 288 of the New English translation. So now, why is this important? What did the other mothers of the believers radiyallahu ta'ala anhum know about Safiya? Nothing. Only thing they know is she's that shaitan's daughter. It's very important to understand that. We obviously benefit of knowledge. We now know everything about Safiya radiyallahu ta'ala. So this is why the Prophet defended her. He would say to the other wives, she has accepted Islam and she is now an excellent Muslim. Meaning, don't think these things. Right? She's not like her father. But that was part of a test that she had to go through. A further honor for our beloved mother Safiya radiyallahu anha was that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent 7 consecutive nights with her. In Abu Dawood, number 2123, Sahih, Ahmad in his Musnad, 3-99, Anas radiyallahu anhu said, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took Safiya as his wife, he spent 7 days with her. A Sunnah narrator, Uthman rahmatullah alayhi, added, she had been previously married. So now, this is very important. If you marry a woman and you have another wife, what does the Sharia say? The Sharia says that if she is a virgin, you can spend 7 consecutive nights with her. But then he has to be equal with your other wife. The reason is, she needs to adapt to married life. But if she's been married before, she's not a virgin, then it's only 3 nights. Then you be equal with your other wives. So let's look at this. What does the report say? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent 7 days with her. Was she a virgin? No. So one of the Sunnah narrators, he explained, she had been previously married. Meaning this was something special for Safiya. The Holy Prophet was honoring her. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning you're missing something here. On the face of it, okay, he's married. The response is no. He's honoring her above others. This was one of the prerogatives of Rasulullah. We can't do that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For Anas radiallahu anhu said, if a person marries a virgin whilst he has a wife, he should stay with her for 7 days. However, if he marries a non-virgin, he should stay 3 days with her. This is in Sahih Bukhari, number 5230, Sahih Muslim, number 1461, Abu Dawood, number 2124, with a Sahih chain of transmission. So this is true with plural marriages. Now what's interesting, another one of our beloved mothers, Sayyidah Salama radiallahu anha, she had previously been married. Her husband was Abu Salama. Abu Salama radiallahu anhu was the first cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's very close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was, you know, he passed away, he died from an injury. Salama radiallahu anha, some of the great Sahaba offered their hand in marriage. Abu Bakr came and she made her excuses. Umar came, she made her excuses. Rasulullah came and eventually they got married. The Prophet ﷺ said to her, If you now wish, I will spend 7 days with you, 7 nights. But if I do that, I will have to do the same with my other wives. So now, how do you explain this? Because the Prophet ﷺ said that if you have a plural wife and the second wife has been married before 3 days. So the Prophet told Salama radiallahu anha that I will spend 7 nights with you. But if I do that, I will have to spend 7 nights with my other wives. The reason he did that was that this was a prerogative of his. So with Safiya, he used it. Have you understood? Right? He used that. He says, He spent 7 nights with Safiya radiallahu anha. And Salama said 3 nights, Ya Rasulullah. But this was to honor Salama, to give her honor as well. And just as this is very interesting, did the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have to spend equal time with his wives?
No.
Allah the Almighty and Glory says in Surah Ahzab, you can detain whoever you wish, you can go to whoever you wish. Now think about that. He doesn't need to spend equal time with his holy wives. But did he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, still spend equal time with them? Yes. Why is that so important to highlight? Because that shows how much he loved his wives. Because the wives knew. So imagine, one of the mothers of the believers, if the Prophet wanted, he didn't need to spend the night with them for a month, for a year. The fact that he's spending equal time with all of his holy wives, what did they realize he was doing? He was doing this out of love. But right at the end of his holy life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was very ill, what did he finally say? Where will I be tomorrow? Where will I be tomorrow? That was the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He doesn't need to say that. And then they knew that he wanted to be with Aisha. He could have said to them, right, I'm with Aisha now. Class. But look at his love he had for his wives. He goes, where will I be tomorrow? Where will I be tomorrow? And Fatima radiallahu anha said he wanted to be with Aisha in Ibn Sa'd and his Tabaqat. So then he spent the remaining time of his life, nights, with Aisha radiallahu anha. But he didn't need to ask. Think about that. Right? So note, if Rasulullah is doing that, and he's doing it voluntarily, for us it's an obligation. But that should make it easier for the man with plural wives. Have you understood? If Rasulullah is doing that voluntarily, I should be doing it equally. The one thing you are not accountable for is what's in your heart. You may love one wife more than the other. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Abu Dawud Sahih Hadith, he made a dua. He goes, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have done everything equally, but do not hold me to account for what's in my heart. And the scholars say he loved Aisha more. So think about that. He goes, Ya Allah, you know in my heart, Aisha has a special place. Don't hold me to account for that. Right, so that's something that you are excused for. There's nothing in your heart, as long as you do everything outwardly. The last thing to mention about her marriage, how old was she when Safiya radiallahu anha got married? With regards to her age, Sayyida Amina bint Abu Qais al-Ghifariya radiallahu anha, she said, I was one of the women who beautified Safiya radiallahu anha for marriage on her wedding day. And I heard her say, I was just shy of 17 years of age when I married Rasulullah. I was just shy of 17 years of age when I married Rasulullah. Yes. This is in Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, volume 8, page 92 of the English translation, in the chapter on the wives of the Prophet, Hafiz Zahabi in his Siyar. So on her own authority, she explained, I was almost 17 lunar years. Now, why is that important to highlight? Because we don't look. They say an adult is 18 years. We don't believe that, right? Our Sharia says that when the man and woman becomes baligh, they become adult. Right? So here, note, the Prophet married her when she was around 17 years of age. And this is important, especially in today's day and age, when people have, a'udhu billah, speak ill about Rasulullah, about how old his wives were. But don't forget, you need to go through it slowly, and when you explain exactly what took place, you realize why he's marrying these noble women. Radiallahu ta'ala. So all I mentioned today was basically further details with regards to the blessed marriage, i.e. explaining questions that may have gone through your mind. Was there something in her blessed heart upon the death of her father, her husband and her family? And the answer was yes. She herself testified to that. But Rasulullah, with his kind words, clarified it was taken out of her heart. We don't hold that against her. Right? If you hold that against her, go and join your brothers in Iran, right? Right? So why? Because this is natural. If your father is killed, you know, don't you love your father? Right? Your husband's killed, your family's killed. And she didn't hide that fact. She could have easily hid that. No, I have nothing in my heart. But Rasulullah explained. And the other beautiful thing which needs to be highlighted, he never spoke ill of her father. Look at the character. That's why she said, I've never seen a character better than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because he had the greatest character, which Allah Ta'ala mentions in the glorious book. Are there any questions you want to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ورواصل بالحق ورواصل بالصبر صلى الله عليه وسلم